Blog Talk Radio.
Most of the time, you don't have to think about what to do. You just go ahead and do it.
From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson, and it's the Willie Lawson Show. We appreciate you being here. Yeah, that's a great tune. That's my friends at Manhattan Transfer. Manhattan Transfer is a great group, and we like to thank them for being on the show today. Listen, we are here in the Spacebar Production Studios here. And waiting to bring you another hour of online radio excellence. And I'm glad you're here. It's a beautiful day. Had my annual Christmas breakfast with a good friend of mine, and it's good to catch up. You know what? Here's the deal. If you got friends, have friends, catch up with them. Stay close to them, because you know. When it all comes down to it, is that's all we've got. We've got each other, and I think you always want to have each other. Sometimes it's easy to get, busy. It's easy to say, well, you know what? If I just had time, but you know what? Stay in contact. We have more ways. To stay in contact with people now than we've ever had before. I remember when this particular friend was not a fan of text messaging. I remember when he was not a fan of text messaging. Don't text me. Call me. Don't text me. And I've always been a fan of text messaging or communicating in any way that you could. But he was like, oh, don't text. Call me. Just call me or send me an email or. Now he's got a smartphone, and I called him yesterday and I said we got to have I left a message and said we got to have breakfast blah blah blah, and he said and so he texted me back. Well, in the meantime, I didn't get back with him right away, and he called me this morning and said, oh, I thought you were trying to snub me. I'm like, why? Because he texted me and I went to sleep last night at like 6:45 p.m. I just thought it was kind of funny. I think that's really hysterical that now this guy who texted me, so you didn't ask my chat song. So now he gets it. But we have so many ways to stay in touch with one another now, and nowadays. So I think it's important that we do that. I think it's vital that we do that. I do anyway. So there you go. It has been a it's been an interesting day. We've learned a lot. About things that are going on around us, and I would be remiss not to mention that the funerals continue. Two more yesterday, I think three more today, and the of the horror that happened in Newtown, Connecticut, on Friday, and that will continue for a while, and the pain and agony is going to be tough. You know, it's interesting. People are asking questions. What to do with the school? What to do with the school? Well, and I know today, less than a week, nobody who works there wants to go back into that building. Of course not. Doesn't make any sense. Of course they don't want to go back into that building. What a horrible thing. As I heard a local news guy, well, not a news guy, a local commentary guy, Todd Schnitt, oh, they should tear it down and build a memorial. In a town like Newtown, what you won't need is a memorial. You won't need a memorial. You won't need something that those families can go by every day to remember that their 8 year, that their 7 year old was shot numerous times. That's the last, you know, frankly, for me, that's the last thing you need. I wouldn't need that. I wouldn't need to go by there and see that every day for the rest of my life. It's not necessary. It just wouldn't be necessary. For what for what reason? Why would you do it? What, for the rest of us out here that are never going to see it? No, you need to do, you know, people need to do the hard thing. Keep living. Keep living. That's going to be the thing that is the most difficult for these families as time goes on, is to keep living. Because it's going to be, I can understand for me, it would be really easy to stop living. You know, we got to take a break here and then start the Ustream portion of the show here. But, you know, my son is 22 years old. And when these things happen, I still, you know, you still go, oh, well, you know, what would I do if it happened to me? And he's an adult. He's 22 years old. And I said, if something happened to him, could I keep living? And he's an adult. Would I be able to keep living? That would be, it wouldn't be like I would forget that I would need a memorial to remember this horrible thing, but could I keep living? I don't know. If something happened to my wife, could I keep living? That would be the most difficult thing for me. To keep living. And I think the folks in Newtown are going to realize, even the parents of these babies, that they're still alive. And I think that we're going to have to start watching. The people in Newtown are going to really have to start watching and commenting. Really watching these families and these moms and dads and sisters and brothers. You know, because after the attention, the hard part is, after all we've all experienced this when we've lost a loved one, a mom, especially mom and dad or whatever, or spouse, when everybody goes away. When in Newtown the cameras go away, the spotlight is off, there's no broadcast of funerals, and everyone has gone away. And the moms and dads are just there in the house, alone, and it's quiet. That's the hard part. That's when you have to start loving on people. That's when it really falls on the folks who live in Newtown to start taking care of those folks. That's the hard part. And making sure that they can that they'll take care of themselves, and making sure that they do the hard part. And the hard part is to keep living. That's the best tribute. That's the best tribute, the finest tribute to those children and those adults that were murdered last Friday, is to keep living, is to not stop. That's the tribute. You know, keep living. Again, the hardest part is always the best part. Listen, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back, and we'll start the Ustream portion of this show in just a little bit. My name is Willie Lawson, and this is the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone.
I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Real.
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson, and I'm the host of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is great to be here today on independent media, such as Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. I want to talk to you for a second about you supporting this endeavor. Now, you know what? The folks at Fox, they have sponsors. Multi-million dollar sponsors. You know, with enough sponsors, they make millions and millions of dollars a year. So you know what, they're fine doing what they do. But those of us here in independent conservative media need your help. So if you're willing to help, and if you understand the importance of independent conservative media, right now go to WillieLawsonShow.com and click on the donate button at the top of the page. I'll appreciate it, and your country will appreciate it. Thank you ever so much. Welcome back to the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and now Ustream Television. Thank you so much. We are continuing to experiment with Ustream TV, and listen. I'm gonna ask you who are watching, who are listening, what we've not been able to do, and it doesn't make any sense to me, we're going to get a little technical for, right now. And maybe, you know what, you know, a lot of times I've learned if you ask people, somebody knows the answer to this. Somebody who's listening either on Blog Talk Radio or who is watching on Ustream TV knows the answer to this. And you can send me the answer at Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E, because nobody spells her name. Black spells her name with a Y. You just don't. Sorry to hear. Tired to tell you. We don't. W-I-L-L-I-E at WillieLawsonShow.com. What we've been able to do, obviously, is to simulcast here, as long as I'm talking, through an Alessi. I have an Alessi's Multimix 4 mixer, and it's just hooked to USB in a computer. We've been able to do what we're doing now. As a matter of fact, the audio and the video seem to be matching up. Yeah, not bad. The latency isn't bad, actually. We've got a fast enough computer where the latency isn't bad. But we're not able to pull any of the audio that's coming from the internet, like callers who call, or the commercial spots we run, PSAs and the like, into the Ustream feed. If you've got an idea about that, send me an email. And if you can solve the problem, there is a Willie Lawson Show activist listener shirt headed your way. That's it. One of those beautiful activist listener t-shirts. Definitely it's not even a t-shirt. It's a kind of an Hawaiian shirt kind of deal. Great thing to wear this winter if you're in the frozen tundra of wherever you are. Sort of get you in that summery spirit of activism and freedom. So if you can solve that problem for us, there's a Willie Lawson Show activist listener shirt headed your way. Just send me an email at willie@willielawsonshow.com. All right, listen, we have heard through our good sources that the government is about to get out of the car business. Now, a lot of us said we should have never, I know, we should have never been in the car business in the first place. Yeah, I know. I said that I was one of the people who said we shouldn't be in the car business. We have no business at all being in the car business. Why are we in the car business? I don't understand why are we in the car business. How come we got to be in the car business? We shouldn't be bailing out anybody. That's a problem. That ain't gonna work out. Blah blah blah. We all said that, right? And then during the election, Osama bin Laden is dead and GM is alive and it's yay. People were cheering, yay. But some of us were saying, but the fact of the matter is, yes, Osama bin Laden is dead, allegedly. I'm just kidding. I think he's dead, allegedly. But and GM is on life support. But yesterday, the Treasury Department announces the GM exit strategy, automaker buying 200 million shares from the U.S. The automaker is buying 200 million shares from, and here's the story. The story is on DetroitNews.com. The Obama administration said Wednesday it will sell 200 million shares of, or 40% of its remaining stake in General Motors Company, back to the automaker and announced plans to completely exit the Detroit automaker by March 2014. The Detroit automaker said it will purchase 200 million shares of GM stock held by the Treasury for $5.5 billion, or $27.50 a share. Where the hell can I get in on this deal? How can I get in on this deal? You know what? I will do a yard sale to raise a couple hundred bucks to get in on this deal. But we're talking about $27.50 a share for GM, or nearly $2 above the stock's closing price on Tuesday. Okay? That sounds good, right? GM shares jumped sharply on the news and were up 6.7% to $27.10 a share, or $1.59, whatever that means. The U.S. Treasury, after more than a year refusing to say it when it might start selling its remaining stake in GM, said it will announce a written plan in January to shed the remaining 3 million shares over the next 12 months to 15 months, likely in a series of small stock sales. The Treasury move is intended to minimize the impact on the stock sales on the share price. The exit plan may prove to be a boost in GM's lagging stock price to some car buyers who have been avoided GM because of the government motors label. Steel taxpayers will almost certainly lose. Here's the deal. Now, if you could somehow get in on this deal, it's a good thing. You know why? Because right now the taxpayers will almost certainly lose billions of dollars in the $49.5 billion GM bailout. If the government sold the rest of its stock at the current prices, taxpayers would lose more than $13 billion. $13 billion plus $13 billion. Have mercy on my soul. $13 billion. $49.5 billion GM bailout. $13 billion loss to the taxpayer. So all the folks out there who keep telling me, well, you know what, man, all those jobs will get saved, blah, 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 and you know what, and the taxpayer is not on, well, it's true, man, it's not true, taxpayer's not on the hook. Well, according to the Detroit News, Detroit and Michigan, taxpayer on the hook for $13 billion. The government should not be in the business of owning stakes in private companies for indefinite periods of time, Assistant Treasury Secretary Tim Massad said. Moving to exit our investment in GM within the next 12 to 15 months is consistent with our dual goals of winding down TARP and soon as a practical and protective taxpayer interest. $13 billion. They're saying, hey, listen, we gave all we could to keep the unions alive during the election, and now we don't need, you know what, we're not trying to get reelected, so we don't need it anymore. Good luck, unions. Good luck, car industry. Good luck. We're out. And if the taxpayer has to take a $13 billion bath for the Obama reelection campaign, well, so be it. Now, if I'm a Democrat senator or Democrat House of Representatives who's looking for that coattail 2014, what you better start thinking, really clearly about, oh crap, these people are bailing. They're you know what, that whole big fight in Michigan to make Michigan a right to work state. Did you see any help? No. As a matter of fact, the useful idiots have outlived their usefulness in this situation. A $13 billion bath the American taxpayer is taking. You like that, huh? How about all that? All right, let's see who else we got. We got here ZeroEdge.com. A few days after divesting its stake in the firm that started it all, AIG, at a profit at that, ignoring that the risk of merely being outboarded by the federal all this stuff. This is from Treasury says it intends to sell its remaining 300.1 million shares through various means in an orderly fashion in the next 12, 15 months. Subject to market conditions, Treasury intends to begin its disposition of the 300.1 million common shares as soon as January 2013, pursuant to a prearranged written trading plan. The manner, amount, and timing of the sales under the plan are dependent upon a number of factors. Assuming that a price of $27.50 range, this implies nearly a 50% loss on the government's break-even price of $54. Now, the government came up with this price that in order for it to break even, so the taxpayer wouldn't take it in the shorts, the stock had to sell for $54. And we just heard from the Detroit News that we're talking about it's selling at $25 and at $25. And it was at $27.10 at the end of yesterday. Now we're talking about fifty percent on the government's break even price of 54%. So how much profit? How much for the quote profit spin? One hopes that all the union votes were well worth the now booked $40 billion plus cost to all taxpayers. Well, because they kept saying, oh, it's going to be profit. And you know what? I have people telling me all the time, oh, it's going to be profit. You know what? You know, it's not true. It worked out, blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is that it has not worked out. It has been just to hold, just to give the unions more money so they would have money to give to President Obama and other Democrat causes for the election. And now the elections are over and they were successful. Now there isn't any reason for it. It's all done. Thanks so much. You know, and people say, well, that's an awfully
cynical way to do.
Well, it is. It is cynical. And it's horrible. But the fact of the matter is that it's true. That's the crazy part. And that's what you got to get. You know, I don't care. I don't care if you voted for President Obama. I don't care if you voted for Nancy Pelosi. I don't care if you voted for Harry Reid or Jesse Jackson Jr. It doesn't make any difference to me. Vote for whomever you want to. You know what? Encourage people to vote for whomever you want to. But you know what? You have to be able to see truth, and you have to be able to see facts. Now, you just have to, if you're going to be on that side, say, yep, that's what we did. Shoot. We used our resources. Our resources were the unions, and we used them. You know, that's what we did. You know, we won the election. We got the stuff pushed through, and we just out-strategized. We outplayed, outwitted, outlasted, like on Survivor. That's how we do it. That's how we roll. What? And use your money to do it. You feeling a little salty this morning? What? You a little crispy around the edges? You know what? At least if you took that voice, I'd be like, All right, then. You know, okay, whatever. But the whole idea is to keep lying to me, to keep continuing to lie to me. Oh, yes, oh, the prophet, man, it was a great idea. Yeah, it was great, 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 great. You know what? That was cool. it wasn't. It was a nightmare. It was a disaster. And we told you it was going to be. What? You know what? Maybe Governor Romney was right. You know, you can't make 47% of the people who don't pay any federal income tax give a crap about taxpayers taking $13 billion right in the. They don't care. Not them. You know, it ain't me. Whatever, man. It's the rich people. Y'all ought to make the rich people pay, man. Shoot. I'm out here hustling, trying to make it. And that's the deal, you know. That's what the crazy part is. I'm trying to hustle, man. I'm trying to get mine. Shoot, I ought to make the rich people pay. Bill Gates to write a check. Bang. Well, the fact is, they probably could. Him and his rich buddies could write a check. And that's what my suggestion is. You know, my suggestion is, you know what? What should the American taxpayer do? The American taxpayer should go to people like Michael Moore and Bill Gates and the other and Oprah Winfrey and the other liberalistas that are involved in that were involved in making sure that President Obama got a second term, and they're all happy about it and joyous about it, and say, you know what, yeah, about that, we've got a $13 billion bill, yeah, for the tax, you know, for the car industry that you guys were all cool about, y'all gonna pitch in and grab this, you know. It's like a check, you know, when you go to dinner and you're like, and the check comes and you'd be like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, and it's like, well, you know, and everybody, you know, because what I want to happen is this, and this is primarily for my Ustream viewers. I'm pulling out my wallet. What I want them to do is go, all right, well, you know, $13 billion, I've got $4 billion of it. What y'all got? I got $4 billion. Oprah, what do you got? You got $500 million? Oh, you got that own thing. I'm sorry. You're going to be broke in a minute. Hey, I'm Bill Gates. I got $4 billion. How about you? How about some of these other people? Michael Moore. Hey, Mike, you got $3 billion? I'll get three. I'll get it. I'll take care of it. Shoot. You know, George Clooney. Hey, George. Hey, George, you got a couple. I mean, you got 20 mil? Hey. Hey, Hollywood, y'all got some money? Hey, we were all in it together. And we're the people who have means and that could help with this debt. You see them at, hell no. makes me laugh. It does. I mean, it really makes me laugh because, you know, these are the same folks.
oh, we have to help the people in the moment, and the Republicans just don't want to help anybody.
And you ask them to come up with some cash, and they, oh, you know,
well, you know, I'm a little strapped this week. We're vacationing, and we bought an island, you know, for privacy, and, you know, it's a little bit more expensive, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, Jay Leno, hey, where's your wallet? Come on with a few, come on with a few dollars. You, I mean, you know, Jay's doing some austerity measures. anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Will Austin Show right after these messages. Oh, wild times, baby. Wild times.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's the combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
All right, we're back with more of the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Ustream TV. Ustream, iStream, we all stream for Ustream. Listen, again, I was telling the folks who are watching on Ustream or watching live and who are watching later, if you can figure it out how to pull audio from Blog Talk Radio into the mixer and back out to Ustream, the first person who comes up with a way that makes that actually work an activist listener t-shirt is headed your direction. So it's cool. Because you know what, in all my fabulous expertise, I haven't made that work. I've got an idea that I'm going to run some audio out of the main out back into the microphone jack of the computer, but I think that the quality of the audio will suck. I think it'll be too much. I think the signal will be too high. So, anyway, whoever makes that work effectively for us, as an active listener, Hawaiian shirt, head it your way. It comes in bright, loud, oh my God, here he comes, or a more muted thing, and I'll wear them both. I'll bring them both and let you decide, or send you a picture and let you decide which one you want. And we've got them in medium, large, and oh my God, is that really a shirt sizes, which is the one I wear. So there you go. Okay, listen, I was on Facebook, my friend Bob Parks noted an article written in the New York Times. We know that also covered up in all the tragedy of Newtown, Connecticut. There was an opening. You know, there's an opening in the Senate because Senator Jim DeMint has gone on to be the head of the Heritage Foundation. I think it's a great move for DeMint. I think it's the only play he had, really, because I can't imagine that, at least for the next 4 years, anything more frustrating for Jim DeMint than to be Jim DeMint and be in the Senate. And knowing a little bit about Jim DeMint, he came and spoke at a gathering here in Tampa 2 years ago, I think, and he said one of the things that frustrated him most when he first became a representative in the House of Representatives was that he was freshman rep, and they were all excited about tax reform, and they were all full of piss and vinegar and just ready to go. And the first thing that Republican leadership did when they gathered the new folks in, the first thing they talked about, the very first thing, can you guess what it was? Yep, you're right, on how to make sure they had enough money to run again. That was the very first thing they talked about. And he said it was kind of discouraged from the very, very beginning of this process that the Republican leadership, the first thing they talked about was getting reelected. It's the first thing they talked about. It was like, what about the stuff that the voters sent us here to do? Now, you can like Jim DeMint or not like Jim DeMint, but the best part about Jim DeMint is that I believe that Jim DeMint is a person of character, and he believes what he believes. So I'm not completely surprised that Jim DeMint decided that he wasn't going to spend the next 4 years spinning his wheel in the Senate, spinning his wheels in the Senate. So he's going to go move somewhere where he believes that his views and his beliefs are going to be useful, and his work is going to be useful. So God bless Jim DeMint. And good luck in the Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation, good move. You picked a good guy. But in the meantime, Governor Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, announced that Representative Tim Scott is going to replace Jim DeMint in the Senate. Great move. You know what? I'm one of the people who tweeted to her saying, please, that's your – you know what? And that not only is it a great pick because Tim Scott is a great guy and a great representative. He already fills in all the requirements for a great senator. Already. He has all the requirements. He is not lacking in any of the things that you want in a great senator. He is not lacking in any of them. Not one of them. So that's not even a question. It's also a great strategy. So it was really the only move. It's also it's a great, listen carefully now. Don't get stupid. Get crazy here. It's great. It's a great move because Tim Scott hits the bill, going to be a great senator, would have been a great senator, has all the requirements of being a great senator. This on its face. If you didn't know what Tim Scott looked like, if he was an alien from some foreign world, he would fit the bill of being a great senator. That's not in question. And it's also a fabulous strategic move. He was the only pick. Let's just get real. He was the only pick. However, here's the thing that we have to put up with. This is from the NewYorkTimes.com. When Governor Nikki Haley of South Carolina announced on Monday that she would name Representative Tim Scott to the Senate, it seemed like another milestone for African Americans. First of all, I'm tired of white people saying African American. I am. Mr. Scott will complete the term of Senator Jim DeMint, who is leaving to run the Heritage Foundation. He will be the first black senator from the South since Reconstruction and the first black Republican senator since 1979 when Edward W. Brooks of Massachusetts retired, and indeed the only the seventh African American ever to serve in the chamber. Pretty good so far, huh? But here's where it goes on. But this first black in quotes, rhetoric tends to interpret African Americans' political successes, including that of President Obama, as part of a morality play that dramatizes how far we have come. It obscures the fact that the modern Black Republican has been more tokens than signs of progress. Stop. I am damn sick of and this is what Republicans have got to get. We got to get to where we get to the point where I can't say, well, I can, but I'm not going to say what my friend Bob Parks said to the New York Times. It had something to do with it's an F and a really aggressive K. Really aggressive K. Because it's time to say, you know what? I'll say this. Screw y'all, New York Times. Bite me. The article continues, and I'll tell you who wrote it here in a minute so you can miss an op-ed piece. The cheerleading over racial symbolism plays to the Republicans' desperate need to woo, or at least to appear to woo, minority voters who favored Mr. Obama over Mitt Romney by huge margins. Now, here's the deal. Here's why this is bullcrap. And I'll tell you why. Because here's what liberals do. Are you paying attention? Because this is an important lesson. Because some of y'all don't freaking get it. You just don't freaking get it. You know. Okay, here's what liberals do. Liberals say,
well, you know that Republicans are racist and they don't like Black people and they don't like people of color and they're exclusive and la 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 and la di frickin' da, right? That's their whole thing. That's their battle cry all the damn time. And if we say anything about, you know, this person here, Jesse Jackson Jr., is gaming the system, racist. And then they run to me and go, house nigga. You know what they do? They freak out. That's what they do. And most of y'all are like Ken dolls. Y'all can get 87 y'all in the room and there won't be one testicle amongst you. Because somebody says racist and all y'all and testicles just go right up in your body. Just disappear. Smooth around the middle. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Y'all pathetic. Some of y'all are pathetic. Pathetic people when it comes to this. So here's what happens. Governor Nikki Haley picks a great person for the gig. Picks a great person for the gig. Beside the strategy, which is fabulous, picks a great person for the gig. Who happens to be Black. You would think that the liberal side, see, y'all think that the liberal side would go, oh, that's so cool. Well, they're not going to. They're going to continue to do this. And what the frightening part and the frustrating part for me about white conservatives, and I'm going to say it like this because this is important, because in 2013 we're going to talk about it just like they talk about it so you understand what everybody's talking about. You know what? I'm damn sick of hearing, well, you know what? We shouldn't be talking about color.
Yeah, we got to talk about color. Yeah, I know it's a damn shame in 2013 we're still talking about color. I know. I don't like it either. It's a bummer. It's a downer. It's a tough thing. It's hard. And you know what? I'm tired of it too. I am. I'm tired of it too. But you better do it or continue to lose. Again, up to you. Up to you. Either figure out a way to win or continue to lose. Just saying. I ain't hating. Nothing but love for you. But I'm telling you, this is the deal. So what needs to happen is, but what isn't going to happen, is that the New York Times needs an influx of emails to on this op-ed piece by Adolf L. Reed. It says, screw you, butthole. We don't have to defend anything to you. Representative Reed is a fantastic choice. Yeah, he's Black too. And I know that pisses you off. Because what you didn't hear, let me explain this to you. What you didn't hear when Illinois elected Barack Hussein Obama, who is now President Obama, to the Senate, you didn't hear, oh, wow, white people sent in a token. Because that's what it was. Let me help you. Because that's what it was. White folks sent a token to the Senate. Because when you say that there hasn't been a black senator from the South, how many black senators have been from the North? There's only been 7 total. How many? 7. 7. So this whole deal, that they get to say all this, and then you get to run around as a white conservative, you know, looking like a Ken doll, is asinine. Grow some, y'all. Grow some. Raise some hell. You know what? I won't say what my friend Bob Parks said. I won't say it. But it's screw you. The PG-13 version is screw you. New York Times. You can go from there. Because these are the conversations that we're going to have to start having, and we're going to have to start having in a real, substantive, out loud, golly, this is an awkward, freaking moment kind of approach. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? So when you hear conservatives don't care about black people, you got to say, your response has to be, what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? That Republicans don't care about black people. What the hell are you talking about? That's got to be the answer. Let me help you. Let me help with this. Let's all say this together. Ready? Ustream? Block Talk? All together. 1, 2, 3. What the hell are you talking about? Get used to saying that over Christmas break. What the hell are you talking about? Conservatives are the people who want you to be self-sufficient. Run your own business. Hell, get in a position where you don't ever have to worry about needing a job because you be the person who will provide the jobs. Oh, that's where you want to be, right? Getting yours. That's what we don't care about. Wow. I don't care about your kids getting an education that doesn't suck. Not being stuck in that failing school. That's what we want to do. That's what conservatives want to do. Conservatives want to get your kid out of that failing school that you know damn well, even with your ninth grade education, that school ain't doing nothing for your kid. Want to give you the option to put your kid somewhere where he'll get education. Democrats ain't interested in that. Who? Republicans don't care about black people. You must be out your damn mind. You know, those are the kind of things that need to become our responses. Now, that's why, and I'm going to say it again, that's why white Republicans were completely, completely uncomfortable and awkward around Michael Steele, because Michael Steele would go on BET and go, what the hell are you talking about? I must be out your mind. And white people, oh my goodness, this is just not very, Cameron-like. Shut up. I just want to go, shut up. Let the brother do his thing. Let him work his magic. Serious. You know, and all this other stuff. And he's spending too much money. Yeah, he was spending some money because, you know what, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you the story again. We got about 10 minutes. When the convention was awarded to Tampa, he sent some folks here to Tampa to work with people in the inner city community, and what he needed was a group of people who were already invested in it to show up. And my group showed up. The New Century Republican Club of Tampa Bay showed up and said, "We want to be that link between the convention and the inner city community." And you know what? Chairman Steele said? He said yes. He said, most definitely, we need a link between the convention and the inner city community. We need to get buy-in from the community. It isn't, and it ain't just about making money in this thing. It ain't just about electing a candidate. It's about leaving a legacy in the community and in areas of the community that we don't have an in. That's what it was about. And as soon as Rince Priebus one of the whitest men in America took over, guess what happened? That link to the inner city community in Tampa Bay was cut off. Everything gone. So don't tell me it's about message. Don't tell me it ain't about color. Don't tell me that. I ain't hearing it. Don't tell me that we don't need to have this discussion, that somehow we're beyond all that. Please. You got to be out your mind. It's one of my favorite lines from Remember the Titans. You got to be outside your mind. I love that part. You got to be outside your mind. So please stop telling me that, well, I want to live in a colorblind world, in a gated community, with people who look just like me. Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is that if we're talking about winning, if we're talking about delivering the medicine to the people who need it the most, that's not good strategy. It just isn't good strategy. It's not going to work. It'd be nice to live in the Pollyannish world that some people live in. It would be. But we're not there yet. Not by a long shot. But not by a long shot. So it looks like that, at this point anyway, it looks like Rince Priebus will be the chair of the GOP. It looks like here in Florida, Lenny Curry will be the chair of the RPOF. And it's not going to be much change at the national level or the state level here in Florida and other places around the country. But what needs to happen, what has to happen, and if they expect to win, is that there are a whole bunch of people that Rince Priebus needs to get a hold of. As a matter of fact, there's one of them in my chat room that's right, Rince Priebus, this guy's right down the frickin' street. It's not even a long-distance phone call, although there's no such thing anymore. Same area code, baby. Our friend Kenneth McClinton, the Exceptional Conservative Show, right down the street. I'm sure he'd love to come over down to the office and give you the what's up. I trust Kenneth McClinton of the Exceptional Conservative Show to give Rince Priebus the what's up. Here's what needs to happen, y'all. Here's where you keep screwing it up. And it ain't about message. It's really about strategy. You know, and I take a little break before we wrap up the day. We're only going to be here for a few more minutes. But let me give you an idea of stupidness. RPOF, Republican Party of Florida, this past year figured out that there were more registered Democrats in Florida than registered Republicans. Yeah, really? Yeah, we told y'all. Ken says they won't return any of his invites. I don't know, man. I'm going to get some money together. I don't know how I'm going to get some money together. I'm going to travel up there. We're just going to go sit on their doorstep for a while. We got your medicine. Now you got to take it. We need to go sit on their doorstep for a while. If we got to embarrass them, we'll embarrass them. Because, hell, they embarrass themselves on a daily basis. But anyway, RPOF figured out that they were more registered Democrats in Florida than registered Republicans. And a lot of people have left the Republican Party and were pretending to be independents. And that's when I said that, pretending to be independents. I have not met an independent yet that wasn't really a Democrat. I just haven't met any. I'm sure there's some around that, you know, that are more likely to vote Republican, but most of them, it's just cool to be an independent. I'm really an independent, and they vote straight Democrats. But anyway. So they needed folks to go out and do voter registration. Now, there's some pretty large RECs or Republican groups around the country. A lot of Tea Party volunteers or Tea Party folks. There's a massive amount of labor that was available. Here's what RPOF decided to do. RPOF put an ad on Craigslist. I kid you not. I kid you not. They put an ad on Craigslist for people to register folks. They put an ad on Craigslist instead of going to, say, here in Hillsborough County, the largest Republican executive committee in the state, over 400 people. Over 400 people. One of the largest 9-12 groups in the state, in the country. Huge Tea Party groups. Instead of going to them and saying, hey, listen, we'll pay you $12 an hour. If you sign up, we'll pay you $12 an hour to register people to vote. They went on freaking Craigslist and got whomever. That's just dumb. I'm sorry. That's dumb. And so some of the money that you donated to RPOF or to your local Republican Party that ended up there, or the candidates that turned money over to the state party, went to people who couldn't give a crap about getting Republicans elected. That's a bad strategy. That's a bad strategic move. That's a move that, quite frankly, excuse my German, is ate up with a dumbass. Just ate up. Oh, ate up with a dumbass. You gotta be kidding me. All you do is call me. I've got a list of 10 black Republicans / conservatives right here in my town that I said, yeah, we'll go out and, for $12 an hour. Yeah, we'll go out and do some voter registration, sure. But they'd rather pay strangers, unvetted, $12 an hour to go do that. Seems dumb to me. We need a new strategy, folks. I was having breakfast with a dear friend of mine, and the guy who was best man at my wedding, godfather to my kid. And I said to him, you know what? Our problem is not message. Our problem is that we keep going to the same people for strategy. We keep going for the same people for help. It's like hiring one losing coach after the other. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hiring coaches that have losing records. Getting athletes or receivers, especially receivers, quarterbacks on this team that don't have any history of winning, and hoping that against all hope that it's going to work out. We don't talk about the things that we need to talk about. We don't, because you're afraid to for some reason. Folks, for things to be different, we have to do things differently. I know that was a magnificent revelation, wasn't it? Did you enjoy that? Write that down. In order for things to be different, we have to behave differently. All right, folks, it's about time to get up out of here. Listen, if you've got iTunes. You can catch up on these broadcasts from iTunes. Yeah, iTunes, baby. The Willie Lawson Show is on iTunes, been on iTunes. You can catch up with the Willie Lawson Show on iTunes. And that way you can take me with you. I'll fit in your purse. Okay, I'm not going to fit in your purse. Unless you got a real big Omar the Tent Maker purse. Check me out on iTunes. That way you guys can download all the shows that we've done. That way you can get sort of a compendium of the program as we move into 2013. I would appreciate it greatly, greatly, greatly. We're trying to get to some numbers at the end of the year that are well above where we've ever been. And we'd appreciate your help. And send that link to as many people as you can. We appreciate it. Listen, again, thank you if you're listening on or watching on Ustream TV. We're going to, again, whoever figured out how to get the audio from the callers, from Blog Talk Radio, through my computer to Ustream TV, you will win a Willie Lawson Show activist listener. All right, we got to get out of here. Just like always, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, take care of yourself. God bless you. We'll see you next Monday. Bye-bye now.